We bring in Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, for one final time. Vern, how are you on this Monday morning, good sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Absolutely.
Brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, baseball fans. And as we put a bow on this season, Vern, I mean, I guess you could say overall, great successful season for the Royals. Terrible ending, obviously. But overall, I feel like we're on the right track. And that's a great feeling going into the offseason, right?
Yeah, and even with all the questions that some diehards might have as they dive into the 26 and 40-man rosters, the reason why you should, in my opinion, have real hope and honestly faith in the organization is the individuals at the very top, from an aggressive owner to a savvy general manager surrounded by other terrific scouts and other executives in that Royals front office. You look at how they've revamped a bullpen twice in 12 months, how they've completely changed the rotation in 18 months. And after the evaluation season, they did what so many teams say they're going to do and then ultimately do not. The Royals abided by the results, 106 losses, and they gutted it for the most part. And those individuals that survived the evaluation season, I think, will survive again another offseason. Guys like Michael and MJ, Michael Massey, Freddie Fermin, those individuals on this team that stood out in that 106 loss season of a year ago, to me, are still key cogs moving ahead to 2025.
So when you look at, you know, this roster moving into next season, I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I feel like they're like a bat away, like an Anthony Santander type of bat away from really solidifying this lineup and really being that team that everybody's talking about going into next season. Where do you stand going into to kind of next year of what they need to take that next step?
Yeah, the Santander, a switch hitting power hitter, yeah, that would be ideal. The Kendrys Morales would be perfectly fine, yeah, as well. Santander might be a touch expensive. Honestly, I think the avenue for this front office just may be another trade this offseason,
sure,
to acquire that bat, unless they want to go middle market bats. You know, the Hunter Renfro type, and, you know, hopefully whoever they bring in is able to stay healthy over the course of 162 and doesn't have that difficult start to the season that Hunter Renfro did, but he picked it up down the stretch. Listen, when it comes to the track record of J.J. Piccolo and the rest of that front office, man, I for as green as they are in this role, and I know they were all there with Dayton Moore, but from being the top dog, or Scott Sharp being the number two, yeah, it's still somewhat new. But from Lugo to Frazier to Waka and Renfro, when they dip their toe in that free agent water, not the big bats, the Bregmans and the Santanders, but when they look at the 1-2 year contracts, the track record speaks for itself. Now, if they want to go the trade route and try and bring in someone with years of control, a la Lucas Erceg and Hunter Harvey, someone that you give up, something that you maybe don't prize in the minor leagues, but someone that another organization believes, Caden Wallace, the guy that you traded for Hunter Harvey with the Washington Nationals. If you can find a trade partner and you can bring in a third base bat, second base, corner outfield, and someone that you can have for 3, 4, 5 seasons, like you do with a Lucas Erceg. Again, man, I'll push my chips all in with this front office, with what they've done so far. And here's where it's so very difficult. Great job, JJ. A well-maneuvered season with all the different things that were thrown at you over the course of the 6 months. Great job. Now you got to do it again. In a market like this, there's just not a second, in this sport at least, there's not a second where you can put your feet up and go, hey, that was a job well done. We're going to talk with JJ coming up later on this morning. There's just no time to enjoy it with,
right,
what you need to do, which is consistently churn your talent and always be looking towards the future.
All right, so let me ask you this, though, Vern. How much easier is JJ's job than, let's say, David or the Dayton Moore or Allard Baird, having an owner that's willing, yeah, to go out and help you do your job to the best of your ability?
Yeah, I don't even think you can compare it to what Dayton and previous general managers were dealing with under Mr. Glass. Now, when the winners presented themselves in 2015 after a trip to the World Series, yeah, the Glass family was top half of Major League Baseball as far as payroll. But as you saw this past offseason, John Sherman was able to, or willing to, write those checks for more than $100 million coming off a 106-loss season.
Right.
So I think the competitiveness inside of Sherman burns a little hotter than it did for David Glass. To me, he's in the fight. And if you know, for the season ticket holders out there, I'm sure if you are a season ticket holder, you've had an interaction with John Sherman. It's almost every single day he's out there on the concourse talking with Royals fans after games, before games. I know he's a billionaire and I know all that stuff, but as far as an owner is concerned, he's as in the fight as they come in Major League Baseball.
Vern, I want to take a question you asked some radio hosts that work in this building, and I want to ask you this question for the offseason. Who gets the extension first, Cole Reagans or Matt Quatrero?
Q. Yeah. Okay. No, Q at least gets that option for 2026 picked up. I would think that would happen quickly. As far as Cole Reagans, you know, nobody likes to hear this, but in a market like Kansas City, I don't think it's prudent to sign any pitcher to a long-term extension. You can let Cole Reagans leave in free agency, but that's still, 4 years away?
Yeah, long time.
Yeah, stay healthy, and, you know, if it's something worth considering in 2027, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but elbows are too fickle. Pitchers go up and down, and in a market like this, you sign Bobby, right? Salvi's making a pretty penny this season. I don't see anybody else that warrants a long-term extension, and honestly, I would never sign a pitcher to a long-term extension. They don't do that in Milwaukee. You don't really see them do that in Cleveland. They obviously never do that in Tampa.
Right.
It's in my opinion, it's a fool's errand.
Will we be entering Vern next season kind of like this season with Travis Kelce, with Salvi thinking it could be his last?
With him thinking it?
No, us thinking it as fans and thinking this may be the last go-round for Salvador Perez.
In Kansas City, possibly, although they do have that team option for 2026, a very friendly team option, almost, you know, if Salvi puts together another season like he did this year, it's a low ball team option for 2026. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe rework that and stretch that money out over multiple years. If I was a betting man, I would say Salvi's in a Royals uniform. Certainly this upcoming season, I would believe in 2026, probably 2027.
Oh, wow.
But then again, Salvi's a guy that says he wants to play until he's 45. Mm. That's not going to happen in a Royals
right.
uniform. 2027 might be stretching it, again, because of how this organization needs to run. You can't run the team with your heart, with your feelings,
right.
if you're going to stay consistently competitive in a market like this, right? Blake Snell gone, Evan Longoria gone from mm-hmm. Tampa, Frankie Lindor gone from Cleveland, Milwaukee has let, you know, Cy Young Award nominees, Cy Young Award winner go year in and year out. That's likely how this Royals team will go. Now, they've done what Cleveland didn't do, Milwaukee didn't do, and what Tampa didn't do. They broke their superstar 24-year-old off with a $300 million deal. So I know John Sherman, if he's listening, would say, hey, we're not copying what Cleveland and Tampa are doing. We're taking what they do well and trying to improve on it because we pay our superstars in Kansas City. They did that with Bobby, mm-hmm. and there's nobody else even close to Bobby Witt Jr. that would warrant that kind of money.
What about trading Brady Singer? I'm big on trading him this offseason.
Yeah, that could be the avenue to bring in your bat, no doubt. When you look at the rotation options next season, man, you stack it up with the rest of the American League Central. I'll put Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo right up there with a Tarek Skubal and a Reese Olson, with a return of a Shane Bieber and Tanner Bibee. So you're already feeling good about the top two dogs in your rotation, and even if you trade a Brady Singer, Kyle Wright's returning, Chris Bubich is going to be in the mix, Alec Marsh, Daniel Lynch, and then, of course, that middle market free agent that JJ and this organization thrived swimming in those waters this past offseason. If you can bring in another, you know, Michael Wacha type of arm on a one-year deal with a player option for year two. Shoot, even if it's a Michael Wacha, you want to see if he'll take that same deal, another 1 year, $16 million with a player option for a second year. I'd bring Michael Wacha back, although after the season that he had, I think he could secure himself at least three guaranteed years, and I don't think that'll come from Kansas City.
Vern, I want to spend this last part thanking you for everybody here, myself included, for the wonderful work you did this season. I can't wait to get you back for when winter meetings happen and we get to talk about what might be, what could be, or what possibly will be for this Kansas City Royals offseason. Enjoy the time. Enjoy taking a little load off, which is a great song by the band.
And, take a little load off,
that's
baby.
Right. And thank you for all that you do and for everything that you've done this season. It was a fun ride, and cheers to you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and like it was, I would imagine, apparent in this conversation, thanks to John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo for putting a winner on the field. It made my job a lot easier.
All right, let's play one final baseball card game to see where you are going in the offseason.
Are you
right?
We were done with these.
I am ready.
All right, here we go, baby. We've got a 1990 or 89 Topps Bill Pecota.
Mm. In 89?
Yeah.
Was he here? Was
yes,
he
was. Yeah, absolutely. Right. How about a Fleer of, I don't know what year this is, 89, Gerald Perry.
Gerald Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees?
No, Braves.
No. Braves.
Yeah.
Gerald Perry. Yeah. Cannot picture him. I'm thinking Gerald Williams.
You are, yeah. That's yeah. You're, I'll send you a picture of him.
Gerald
and then we
Fleer.
Have an 89 Dunruss, Jeff Blauser.
Mm.
Jeff Blauser, him and Mark Lemke were quite the double play combination mm-hmm. for the championship Braves team.
You got it, man. How about that? I think somewhere Jeff Blauser is still playing, isn't he?
I love that Braves team.
Yeah, that was one of the best.
Pendleton at third, ultimately taken over by Chipper Jones mm-hmm. with Fred McGriff over there at first. Man, that was a squad.
But they only won that one championship.
That's true. All That's right. true. Well.
It is what it is.
Oh, well. Yeah. Got a bunch of Hall of Famers on that team.
That's right.
No doubt. Well, you go ahead and you sleep this winter, okay?
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll,
yeah maybe not.
We'll see. We got a lot to – we got games coming up today.
That's right.
No time for sleeping today.
Who do you like going to the series?
I'm rooting for Cleveland and the Dodgers. I don't like rooting for the Dodgers. I like rooting for Shohei and Mookie Betts, but I just don't want to see a six seed make it to the World Series. I'd be fine with Yankees-Dodgers. I think that would be highly entertaining, but Jose Ramirez, I find it easy to root for him and Stephen Kwan, so I'm pulling for Cleveland and the Dodgers.
I'm rooting for everyone to lose. Vern, I root for you to win, and for one last time, I love you, buddy.
All right, love you too, man.
Thanks, Vern.
You.